Returning fans packing out Celtic Park. 6 wins on the spin for the team. 24 goals hammered in those half a dozen matches, with exhilarating and attacking football, the brand being instilled by new manager Ange Postecoglou. And with new signings also impressing, having just come in the door, it's been a great spell for the Celtic supporters. And the next 2 matches heading into the first international break of the campaign could well have a big bearing on the season. Firstly, Thursday night in AZ in Alkmaar, with Celtic having a chance to reach the group stage of the Europa League. And then, of course, on Sunday, it's Rangers at Ibrox with a chance for one of the teams to put down the first real marker in the title race. It's a key spell for Celtic. And joining us to look ahead to it all in the matches and other matters, we've got the Celtic legend that is Chris Sutton and Record Sports' Michael Gannon. Boys, how are we today?
Very well, thanks. Michael's a legend as well.
I was waiting to find out what I was going to get hit with there. that's not too bad. I can take that. Afternoon, guys.
It's been so long since we had the 2 years together. I thought we'd keep it formal today rather than go down normal lines.
Yeah, I've not missed him.
Me either.
Chris, it's been a good recent spell for Celtic. 6 straight wins. Things definitely on the up, given the tricky start that Ange Postecoglou had to the season. How do you gauge the team and the squad and the mood of everything at this stage now, going into the 2 big games before the international break?
Well, I think the mood around the club is pretty remarkable. You know, when you think Ange Postecoglou's only been in the door just over 2 months, you know, what he's had to work with to get the team up to speed, to play in the manner which they're playing with the dynamism and the energy. And he's been true to his word about the brand of football which he wanted to bring in. It's so exhilarating to watch, and you can see why the fans are right behind him and absolutely enthralled with it. Having said all that, I do think that, and I think he said himself, the manager, that they're a long way from where they want to be. And albeit Celtic are a brilliant watch, as we saw the game last week against Alkmaar, they still have a vulnerability at the back. So, you know, with regards to the game on Thursday, they've still got a lot of work to do, And in the back of my mind, I'm still a little bit worried about it. But we know the way that Ange is going to play and set the team up, and he's just going to go for it. And, you know, it's going to be a roller coaster all season by the looks of it.
Chris, we'll get into the exacts of the Alkmaar tie just shortly. But Michael, would you suggest that Celtic are ahead of where they may have been? A lot of people thought they may have been at this stage. And as Chris is saying, the manager's suggesting they're still a long way from where he would like them to be. Should the supporters be quite excited by that fact, given they seem to be pretty excited at the moment by what they're seeing anyway?
I think so. I think you look back to where they were after Tynecastle in the opening league game of the season, having kind of gone out of Europe, gone out of the Champions League to Midtjylland. I think at that point in time, I think people weren't blaming the manager, because they knew that his hands were tied behind his back the way it started in terms of the recruitment and all that stuff. So I think at that point, there's a lot of concerns. But if you look at then till now, I mean, it's completely flipped. I mean, the atmosphere, is like Chris mentioned there, the mood's completely changed, and everyone's on board with this kind of brand of football. They're scoring loads of goals. But they're ridiculously early in the rebuild. I mean, Postecoglou's bringing in players and throwing them straight in the team. And a lot of them have, I mean, look at Kyogo and Abada, Joe Hart. They've really hit the ground running. And it's been kind of, I mean, I think the manager said himself, it's a bit unfair on them to throw them right in at the deep end. But they've coped really well. So it is surprising where they are, because it doesn't always work that way when you sign. Sometimes it can take a bit of time. Not everyone can start so spectacularly. I know Chris did when he arrived at Celtic, mind you. I think he's going to jump in and remind me there about his start. I can sense it in the background.
Yeah,
there.
Right.
Benny, right. I can't remember that. What happened again? Did he do something at the start, did he?
To be fair, you could have scored that, Swanee. I'm not so sure about Mick. The goal up in Canada.
I'd have got my knees and headed down.
But just on that, if you're a Celtic supporter, though, you're thinking, just imagine if the board had acted earlier in bringing Ange. Just imagine if these signings were brought in 2-3 weeks earlier. Celtic could well be in the Champions League group stage with the organisation, which is shown with the brand of football, with the confidence that the team has had, and you know, Celtic being slow out of the box, out of the blocks. First of all, with appointing him, and then with the signings, it's you know, it's been a handicap really. But to see the team from where they were at the end of last season and a club all over the place to where they are now, it's I mean, it's night and day, isn't it? And you know, that is a testament to the manager and the style and the way he's got players on board. I mean, to see the re-emergence of Tom Rogic, a player who, you know, I've always liked him, but him, like a lot of guys, have you know, lost the way, but he looks to be back at his. I mean, Odson Edouard, you know, the manager's getting a turnout of Odson Edouard, which, you know, was remarkable looking at his performance last season. And that's going to be a really interesting one now, that the old Edouard situation, will he stay, will he go? I thought it'd be a big miss anyway, but now is it not more vital than ever to make sure that he stays? And, you know, he'll walk away at the end of the season, but, you know, he looks like he's enjoying his football again.
For that to happen, however, Michael, would Odson Edouard not really have to sign some form of extension, even if it's a year, just to protect the fee? Because with the greatest respect, Celtic cannot really afford a player of that value to walk away for free at the end of his contract. So would they have to?
They might not have any.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Yes, they can.
They can. You think they can? Yeah.
Well, they're not. Yep. How much are you going to get for him? Say, at the very, very best, they're going to get 18, 20 million for him. They spent £9 million on him. There's a massive sell-on clause at PSG, so they might only make about £5 or £6 million in profit, or whatever it is. But if they win the league this year, they're getting the Champions League group stages directly. £40 million in the back pocket without even looking.
So, 18, 20 million's optimistic.
I think you're right, Chris. I agree with you. I'm aiming at high, at very best. That's what they'll get for him at this stage. But the money they can get for getting the Champions League group stage next year wipes that out completely. So having Celtic having Odson Edouard on board for another season, even if he walks away for nothing at the end of the year, is still more economically sound than letting him go just now for £15 million. So unless he can get some deal with a high-ranking team in England or France or Italy or something like that, what's the point of him going just now? Mm. He's better waiting for a year. Do the business, then see what happens next year. But I think it makes financial sense to keep him for another year.
And Odson Edouard can just, you know, let his contract dwindle anyway. That's his decision. You know, in many respects, it's got nothing to do with the club. If Odson Edouard wants to run his contract down, he can do that.
Yeah.
And do you think that is a genuine possibility now, Chris? And is the point Michael makes with the finances available at the end of the season where Celtic to win the league, the guaranteed finances of the group stage of the Champions League? Do you think, obviously you spoke a lot about the gambles that were taken in the market last summer in the chase for 10 in a row and how some of them didn't really work out. Would this represent another gamble, or do you think it makes sense?
But it might just pan out that way because of the circumstances. Look, you guys are in the know more than me. And it doesn't look like there is a plethora of teams who are putting bids in for Odson Edouard at this moment in time. You know, there have been question marks over his attitude and his desire last season and maybe at the start of this season. And, you know, he's got it all to do. He's been brilliant in the past, but he's lost his way. Now, we know he's a talented player, and maybe this will be a season where he just has to prove it and perform well and put himself back in the shop window where there are, you know, clubs from the Premier League down south and across Europe who'd see his level of performance go up, which, you know, it looks like it is to Celtic's benefit. And then they say, do you know what, I'm having him. But at the moment, it seems that there aren't clubs in for him because there are a lot of doubters out there.
There is a chance, a big chance, that Edouard will still be in place for the two upcoming matches against Alkmaar and against Rangers. We'll deal with Alkmaar first, Michael. How do you assess the tie going into it and what are you expecting to pan out in Holland?
I'm expecting Celtic to qualify on Thursday night. I'm expecting them to score in Holland, which I think makes a tie a really strong position. And I think they'll get a result at Ibrox on Sunday. Whether they win on Sunday, I'm not sure, but I think it could be I wouldn't be surprised at a kind of score draw. in that game. I think they're in decent shape. I think Rangers look a bit shaky the weekend, recent weeks. I think both defences look a bit creaky. I think it's all set up. I think they've all got a result in Holland. I don't think AZ, they're a decent side, but I think they've lost a lot of potency. I mean, I think they've lost a few big star players in the summer.
They still have got Celtic enough problems, Mick, didn't they?
Aye, but they looked blunt, didn't you? Think they looked blunt, Chris? I think they looked weird blunt in the final. I think they looked missed a few big chances. They don't have that cutting edge, I think. I think Bodo and Stengs are big misses for them. I think I can see them scoring as well, but I can see Celtic grabbing a goal or two as well, especially if the AZ come at Celtic as well, leave a bit of space. The pace they've got in the break, I think I can see Celtic scoring. If they get a goal, you've got to think the tie's going to be in a really strong position for Celtic at that point. I don't have too many worries on that one.
Is there a great irony, Michael, in the fact that Celtic were notorious for being incapable of keeping a clean sheet at Celtic Park in Europe, and the year that they scrap away goals, they've had three straight clean sheets at home. But on a serious note, had Celtic gone to Alkmaar with a 2-0 lead with the away goals rule still applying, you'd probably fancy them more, wouldn't you? The prospect of them getting one goal and really putting AZ Alkmaar up against it.
Oh, without a doubt. That's what I'm saying, yeah. Same in the first round in the Champions League against Midtjylland, away goal, that tie would have been changed right away. Obviously, the change of rules has not really helped them this year, which is kind of sod's law. But for all talk about Celtic's defence, they've had four clean sheets in the last five games, albeit against kind of limited opposition outside AZ. So they're maybe not quite as dodgy at the back as maybe we make it out, but this will be the test, I think, in the next kind of few days, because obviously AZ and Rangers are different beasts in the face so far, in the league especially. I do find something score out there.
Chris, what do you think?
I can't listening to this podcast with a limited opposition comment there, Mick.
Do you think so?
So hasn't taken long for Chris Sutton to attempt to drop Michael Gannon straight back into deep water.
For comparing budgets, I think. If you're comparing budgets, there's certainly a discrepancy.
Get that shovel out, mate.
He's going to start talking about UEFA seedings in a minute and how it's all gone against UEFA. Going to make sure they don't get in.
I've got to say, Swanee, that I'm slightly worried about the game on Thursday. Now, I do take Mick's point about AZ selling some of the best players. That has happened, but they still cause Celtic enough problems defensively. You think Joe Hart, it's good to see a Celtic goalkeeper making saves. It's epic to see Joe Hart making a few saves, but they miss some big chances in the game. And we know how, at this stage, how these European ties can swing. I think you make a good point about, the away goals and that being sod's law for Celtic. But I think the AZ, it shows that they're a capable team. But as Mick quite rightly said, Celtic, as we all know, look really capable of scoring. So it's a real test of the players' courage and their resolve to go over to Holland and actually impose themselves and play their game. But I do think the signs under Ange are that they are going to do that. But Celtic's weakest position is still the centre-halves. I mean, I think that's a pretty obvious thing to say. I'm still worried about Greg Taylor at left-back. Ralston has been pretty incredible at the start of the season. I know Juranovic has come in as cover. Celtic still need to to bring more players in. But, I've said it on many occasions, the brand of football which Celtic play is really exciting to watch. But in many respects, your two best players have to be your centre-halves. And, there's an argument to say at this moment in time, the two weakest players are the Celtic centre-halves. And, they can get exposed. So I think the games against Alkmaar, the games against Rangers will depend on the Celtic centre-halves.
Can you tell the people listening, Chris, as a former professional who played at a very high level, if you have a manager who just wants to play one way, do you like that? Or would you sometimes sit in the dressing room and say, should maybe tighten up here, we're going away for a game in Europe, I'd rather we were a little bit more cautious? Or would you prefer it? Do you like the fact that he's just saying basically, this is the way I'm going to play and that's it? Or should you cut your cloth accordingly? Given
yeah, I think it's a really interesting one. I would love to play for Ange Postecoglou, the brand of football. You know, playing as a centre forward, you're going to get an abundance of chances. You're going to score a lot of goals. That's just the way it is. But there's no doubt that it's risk and reward with the expansive brand of football that Celtic play, the inverted fullbacks. You know, they fire players into the box. But I mean, I thought in the home game against AZ after 70 minutes, and this has happened in a few games. The Celtic players look out on the feet and they're still busting a gut and racing around. I think you wrote, Swanee, that Greg Taylor was sprinting up to take a throw with 10 minutes ago. They're 2-0 up in a European tie. And you're thinking, oh, you know, maybe temper that a little bit. You know, just think a little bit, slow the game down. Celtic are in a brilliant position. While we want to see Celtic score the third and put the tie to bed, 2-0 still a good result. You know, the disaster would have been Altmar scoring. Now, the way the game panned out, it was a brilliant watch. And Nodson Edouard had those couple of chances, which the Altmar keeper made two really brilliant saves. But Altmar had opportunities as well. And that's the worry. But the manager has been pretty blunt in coming out and saying this is the way it's going to be. So I think we're all in for the ride with it, and it's not going to change. And whatever we say on this podcast, whatever you write, it doesn't look like the way the manager is setting the team up is going to change. But inevitably, in the big European ties and maybe, you know, the big derby games, Celtic could come a cropper by playing that way.
Michael, same train of thought for you.
I actually think we saw a different side Celtic the other week in the last 20 minutes. I don't think it was quite as gung-ho. I think Postecoglou put on Jane McCarthy, put on Sorrow. And I think the last 20 minutes, apart from, I know we mentioned that one about Ralston's intervention kind of towards the end, that's the only real chance that Altmar had in the last 20 minutes. I actually thought it was a different kind of side that we've seen that so far. I thought it was a bit more kind of conservative, a bit deeper, and not quite as gung-ho. So I didn't have it in them. To do that kind of thing. It wasn't a back to the wall campaign job, but it was a different side of them. So I think they have got it. I think they have got the kind of the pragmatism in there. I don't think the manager's completely kind of Kevin Keegan gung ho 90 minutes. I think he has got it in his locker to change things and be a bit more conservative. Whether he did it from the start on Thursday night, I would doubt, but we need to wait and see. But I think he has got it in his locker.
Obviously, the style of football you touched on it there, Chris, very exciting for the front players and for the attacking players. And Celtic are obviously scoring a lot of goals. Everyone's chipping in at the moment, sort of the front six, whoever plays, everyone seems to be getting a turn. How impressed have you been with the new boys, Kyogo Furuhashi and Lila Bada in particular? And I know you touched on Tom Rogic and Edouard, and Forrest is doing a bit, and so is Ryan Christie. But the two new guys to settle in so quickly, the two attacking players, how impressed have you been by how fast they've adapted?
I mean, it's been pretty remarkable, hasn't it? Both players, just on Abada, you know, we saw his record in Israel, goal scoring record, and he's a young man. But it was eye opening to see his goal scoring record, and then for him to come in at Celtic and hit the ground running. He has pace to burn, doesn't he? But the fact that he seems like a natural in terms of goal scoring, that bodes really well. But he's started in a confident fashion, and he is going to develop and get better and better and better. Now, Kyogo Furuhashi, I think, is a more rounded player who will get better under Ange Postecoglou. But, I mean, he looks the part. He's a player who has lifted the whole Celtic support and the stadium. And he's the player who I think, I'm not saying he's the final piece in the jigsaw because Celtic need to add, but he seems to be a bit of a game changer in taking Celtic to the next level. I actually think that that he will, you know, if Edouard stays, that partnership will really develop well. I like him as a centre forward, but I like him off the left. I mean, it looks like he can play a number of positions. But to come in and make the impact which he has done and to give the support so much belief has been remarkable. I mean, he's only just in the door, isn't he? But he has that pace. But he's so clever. He's a really good thinker. There was a situation, can't actually remember the game, where the free kick, there was a free kick which bounced, and he was onto it and anticipating before anybody else had even thought about it on the park. And I think he actually ended up missing it.
It was the first half of the Altmar game. David Turner chalked a shot into the ground and bounced up into the air. He was onto it in a flash and just didn't get a foot on it.
And do you know what? He was the only. I mean, you watch the footage back. He was the only player in the box who was thinking, about the possible outcome of where that ball was going to land and gamble in. And everybody else on the pitch were actually froze. And that shows you that he is a really smart thinker. His pacey, his movement is exceptional. And what, 4.5 million? I know we've given Celtic a kicking on this podcast over the years in terms of chucking money away, but that looks 4.5 million very well spent.
Chris, it's unfortunate that we're not going to be able to speak about Kyogo on this podcast without mentioning the disappointing footage which emerged of the racism towards him last weekend. Celtic condemned the actions of those involved immediately, and Rangers have punished the individuals very, very quickly. Is it good that it's been dealt with so quickly?
I think it is. I'm the same as most other people, horrified with what we have seen, and good on Rangers for condemning it and dealing with it and banning the perpetrators, and I think the Rangers Supporters Club from their stadium, and that's what they should have done, and that's what all clubs in Scotland need to have done. And so fair play to Rangers, and these people need calling out.
Michael, back to the football. Kyogo, as Chris says, has hit the ground running so quickly. You've been as equally impressed by him and Abada.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, on the park, I mean, it's plain to see the impact they've made. But I actually think off it as well. I think, especially Kyogo, he looks like such an infectious character. He's come in with a big smell on his face. I was walking out of Celtic Park at the weekend after the game, an hour after the game. He's outside signing autographs and taking selfies for about an hour after the game. He was just loving kind of his life in Glasgow and all that stuff, which makes this week a bit more of a shame, to be honest with you. But
Did you get one, Mick?
He asked me if I won, Chris. I was a bit embarrassed, to be honest with you. I felt a bit kind of a bit put out. But I think that attitude, see that big smile, and he seems to be kind of.
Are you having really... a pop at me there, Mick?
Not at all, Chris. You're a ray of sunshine when you arrive in Scotland. But you see, compared to last year, Celtic was a kind of club that was like kind of doom and gloom, and everyone was moping about. But even the comparison this time last year. Celtic were negotiating with Albi Ayeti. He was on his holidays for a week, waiting, working at his options and all that stuff. Yeah. You look at Kyogo, jumps on a plane, comes across in quarantine, and he's straight in there with a big smile on his face. You think the contrast is huge. And he's lifted supporters, lifted his teammates. You see him going about high-fiving and hugging everyone and all that stuff. It rubs off on people around him. There's a sense of kind of enjoyment back in that squad. I mean, I know last year the results went kind of poorly. It's all about winning. That's what changes the attitude anyway. But it just seems to be that he's brought a kind of sense, a kind of fun and enjoyment back. And it's spread through the kind of the team and the stands. And it's lifted the whole place. So, I mean, whether it continues after this week, we'll have to wait and see. But it's certainly changed the kind of atmosphere, hasn't it?
Well, I think would it be fair to say, Michael, you were at the game last weekend, hat-trick for David Turnbull. He looks like he's been lit up by the arrival of these attacking options in front of him as well. And it gives him passes to hit. As we've seen with a couple of goals already, but he's also capable of having a big, big season. Is that fair?
Oh, listen, David Turnbull was a class act. The only thing David Turnbull needed was to get up to full fitness and get an engine on him. I mean, last year, I don't think he was quite right the whole season. He kind of faded a lot in games later on, but he looks as though he's a good pre-season.
That's a bit harsh, Mick.
I know, but I just think it looked a wee bit lacking overall. But I think a good pre-season, he missed even last season. Pre-season wasn't great for him. I think you see him now. You see a big difference.
He was Celtic shining light last season.
No, I do. I think there's more to come from him. I think last year we only saw glimpses. I think he is going to be top class. I think David Turnbull was a Rolls Royce player. I think he is. He's got absolutely everything in his locker. Am I starting to see it this season? I think he's helped with the formation.
He was away with Scotland, wasn't he? And look, I think the first couple of games he may have looked a little bit jaded, but I mean he's. He's got his confidence back now and looks sharp. But, you know, there isn't a player in the team who doesn't really look sharp at this moment in time.
I think the formation helps him, Chris, as well. Don't you think this the way they're kind of lining up helps him as well? I don't think I was never convinced last year with the kind of diamond midfield. I think the diamond, it got the players in this team, but I don't think it got the best out of them. I think it actually hampered guys playing slightly different roles in that diamond. I never liked it last year. But I think this year the formation is a lot more fluid, and I think it's suiting Turnbull, it's suiting Rogic, it's suiting Ryan Christie. I think it's definitely suiting Callum McGregor as well, who's had a great start to the season. So I think that's helped free him up as well, which makes him I think he seems to be kind of enjoying that kind of role. But I don't think it helped him last year, to be honest.
Chris, is there going to be a big onus on James McCarthy and maybe others? Because the reason I ask, with international football as well, you could be talking 60, 65 games for David Turnbull and Callum McGregor, and the style of football which Ange Postecoglou wishes to play, is that doable? And even if it is doable, it would be pretty difficult to maintain peak performance, wouldn't it? Speaking as an expert, all the way through those games, you would have lulls, you would have dips, or can it be done?
I mean, it's a really interesting one. Did the manager not say that the players were running on empty last week, which was a pretty remarkable thing to say when we're sort of only a few games into the season? But, you know, maybe that's another warning to the board that, you know, if you don't let me bring more players in, then it's going to take its toll. You know, I don't believe that that players can play 60, 65 games a season with the intensity that Ange Postecoglou wants from his players. Hence why more players need to be brought in and the importance of rotation at times throughout the season. Now, Sorrow and McCarthy, there is good competition for those midfield places. I'd love to see Ryan Christie stay at Celtic. It will be really interesting to see. You know, we're hearing of rumours down south. I've heard of Burnley mentioned. I've heard of Southampton mentioned for Ryan Christie. But he's enjoying his football at Celtic. And if he stayed, and if Odson Edwards stayed, I've already mentioned that, then, you know, I think that would be a big deal for Celtic at this moment in time. But they still need more players. Seeing Christopher Julian will eventually come back. The left back area is still an enormous concern for me, and I worry about Greg Taylor being exposed Thursday night and against Rangers. But you know, he's been gutsy so far, but I'm not so sure going forward that Greg Taylor is possibly the answer.
Just a quick one on the other side of the pitch, Chris. We haven't had a chance to touch on the arrival of Josip Juranovic. £2.5 million would appear to be an outstanding piece of business for the first pick in Croatia's national team, given the standard that they're at. And obviously, you spoke about the minutes and the amount of games that people have had to play. Tony Ralston's obviously not going to be able to do it all. But do you think that, although Antti Raulsson will play in Alkmaar, would you expect Juranovic to come straight into the team for the Rangers game at Ibrox on Sunday, given the fact they've paid the money for him?
Not necessarily. I think you know, at this moment in time, it'd be difficult to drop Tony Raulsson. Obviously, you know, there are a lot of things which can happen. You know, maybe he'll fatigue a little bit, and the manager will put Juranovic into the team against Rangers. No doubt he's brought him and he rates him and he will come and play. But at this moment in time, it's going to be hard to oust Ralston from the team. In terms of whether £2.5 million is money well spent, well, you know, let's just wait and see. We've seen, you know, players come to Celtic and Rangers in the past and for whatever reason come with a big reputation and it just doesn't work out. But so far, you have to say, where Celtic have been really poor in recent seasons with the recruitment, at this moment in time, Abada and Kyogo and Joe Hart as well. Forgot to mention Joe Hart. Well, I think we already have mentioned him briefly, but look to be really important signings. The biggest thing about signings is, can they improve your first 11? Can they improve the team? I think at this moment in time, we would all agree that the three players which we've mentioned have improved the team no end.
Michael, what would you suggest needs to be added before the deadline closes?
I still agree with Chris. I still think a centre half. I think it's still necessary. I think they can deal with the aerial threat. I think Celtic are lacking. I don't think they're winning. I think they lose a lot of in the air.
Sorry to break in, though, Michael. Is that a balancing act for Celtic in the market, given the fact they have a £7 million centre half on the books, who will be back probably by mid October?
Yeah, but you also can't just expect him to jump straight back in and pick up where he left off. The guy's been out for nearly a year. So you're now looking at October, November, December. You're halfway through a season before you can expect him back to full fitness.
So
you need to buy a centre-half that can deal with the balls in the box. But I mean, even at the weekend, they won 6-0, but they didn't really handle Curtis Main that well, to be honest with you, bizarrely. So I still think a centre-half is necessary. I agree, left-back, I think Greg Taylor's done really well this season. I think he's been terrific, but very short in cover and competition. Well, obviously, they've still got Bowen and goalie somewhere near the bills of Parkhead, but he's not obviously got a future at the club. So left back, striker issue, I think. Interesting. Obviously, the last few days of window, it might be interesting. Austin Edwards, they need to have someone lined up. If he goes, Alvin Ayeti, I don't see him having a future in this, the way that Celtic play. I wouldn't be surprised to see an Alvin Ayeti loan deal somewhere.
Mick, is there any truth in this Griffiths Nisbet thing? I mean, you guys, you're the guys in the know. Always interesting to hear what you two know about stuff like this.
Not a lot, so Chris, to be honest. Not too much.
So that's a fake story then?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a fake. I think, listen, I can see how it makes sense. Would Celtic take Nisbet? Probably, yes. Would Hibs take Griffiths? I'm not sure. That's the issue as well. I mean, Hibs weren't really top.
Mick, you're just waffling there. Come on, is there any truth?
No, I don't see the appeal to Hibs, really. I think Hibs have got a young striker who's worth a lot of money. Griffiths, question marks over fitness for the last 2 or 3 years. I don't see the appeal to them. Celtic would love Nisbet. Would they pay £4 or £5 million? I doubt it. There's too many things involved. I think it makes it too tricky. So
thanks for clearing that up, Mick.
Listen, would Celtic take Nisbet? Of course they would. But could they afford them? And would Hibs take Griffiths? I doubt. How's that for fence jumping? It's not going to happen, but it might happen.
Beautifully angled through the covers there by Michael Gatton.
You can never write anything off in football.
Brilliant, Mick.
Gentlemen, it's a big week for Celtic, and thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us beforehand and giving us your insight into it. Thank you all also for listening. Stay in touch with Record Sport for all the news and the big matches coming up. Thank you.